moment you've all been waiting for.
You what? Well,
that hit the spot.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the Gosscast. Ali Ryan here, the founder of Goss.ie. So we're back today with a guest, and I think the format we're going to try and do now for this season of the Gosscast is every second week we're going to have a guest on, and every other week it's going to be myself and Kendra Becker chatting about all the big stories of the week, spilling the tea behind the scenes. We have a really busy week. Busy couple of weeks ahead of us. We're planning the Gossies 2020 at the moment. There's so much going on, and there's lots to chat about, and we've some amazing guests already lined up now between now and Christmas, so I'm really excited. Today we have a really great guest on, someone I've always had time for, always really admired, the wonderful Lisa Cannon. Of course you'll know her from many things on television, Exposé being, I suppose, the main thing. She was on Exposé for years, since the very beginning of the show. And then obviously Exposé got axed just 2 weeks ago. So that's very fresh on our minds. We're going to be chatting about that. Obviously now she has a hugely successful other show called Box Office, which is on Virgin Media Television. And she's getting to interview some amazing people. I know she just interviewed Arnold Schwarzenegger this week, so we'll chat about that. And yeah, she's always been a really, really lovely person. I met her years ago when I was starting to break into the industry, and she was so nice to me. And I always remember our first encounter. So I'm really excited to chat to her now. She's had a very colourful career. I think there's a lot people don't know about her, like how she started out in the industry, how she got to where she is today, and her plans for the future. So I hope you enjoy. So thanks so much for coming in, Lisa.
Ali, I am more than thrilled. How long has this been in the making?
I know. I feel like since last year, I was like, we need to come in. It was at the VIP Style Awards. We were like, let's do this like next week.
I know. And classic me. I've been late. I've stressed myself out and stressed you out. I'm so sorry.
Don't worry. These things happen. Oh, you're a busy person.
You're too kind.
I was going to start off. Do you remember the first time that we met?
It was a long time ago. Remember we had a drink at the VIP Style Awards and we were reminiscing. It was nostalgic.
It was a long time ago.
And didn't you come in to... was TV3 at the time, and you were getting some work experience, and
no,
I was chatting.
No, it wasn't work experience. I came in just for the TV3 launches. The first time we actually ever met,
but
was,
we chatted extensively.
Yeah, we chatted then. Yeah. The first time we ever met was at Miss Ireland in, I want to say 2012, and I just started in the Herald, and I'd had my blog at the time. And do you remember we kind of used to interact with each other on Twitter through the blog and stuff? And I remember meeting you, and you were like, "Oh my God, you're like Miss Red Blog." She's like, "Yeah, you're deadly," and I was like, "Oh my God, you know who I am."
Well, you see, the thing about me is, I'm sure you know this. Anyways, I do follow, you know, young up and coming journalists and people that are trying to make it in the media, because I was there too, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And I really support people that are building businesses, empires, whatever
way
you want to call
it. And you were so good at giving advice. I think we started chatting because me and you used to be like the only ones in the country staying up to watch the Oscars. We'd always be on Twitter like live tweeting, and now everyone does it. But I remember it would literally just be me and you. But I remember meeting you that time in Miss Ireland. And you were like, "Oh my God, like your piece of advice to me was to always get selfies with celebrities." I remember I never did it at the time. And you were like, "No, that's like having an online CV, like get your photos."
That's good advice. I must remind myself of that.
Yeah, I say to so many, whenever we have new staff now, I'm like, use this time. If there's an internship or anything, I'm like, use this time, get your photos. Because it's so true, like after you leave, and especially now in the digital age, having the photos. And I remember the next week I took a photo with Mark Wahlberg, and then it was page 3 of the Herald. And I was like, shit, Lisa was right. Why wasn't I doing this the whole time?
I should be following your advice now. Look how brilliant you've built Goss up and everything. So I should be taking a leaf out of your book now.
But yeah, I wanted to have a kind of general chat with you about like how you got in the industry, because I think, I don't know if everyone knows kind of like your history and how you started out and the fact that you were like delivering scripts to trailers. Like there were so many different things. So like how did it all start?
I'm a woman with many faces and jobs over the years. Yeah, multitasked, multifaceted. Yeah. Well, I suppose like anybody, you know, I suppose it's an inkling, isn't it? It's like a yearning. You know you want to be involved in film, television, radio, media, whatever it was. And I think, you know, it kind of stemmed, maybe people don't know, but my father was a rock journalist for years.
Oh.
And he set up the Hot Press with Niall Stokes
back a long time ago. I didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
Wow.
So my father was one of the original kind of crew members of setting up the Hot Press. So I suppose my dad had already that in his bloodstream where he was interviewing, you know, Sid Snot and Roy Orbison and all these incredible musicians of the 70s, punk bands, flying over to London. So he did everything like I did.
Yeah.
And we had come full circle there not so long ago. I interviewed Bob Geldof, Sir Bob Geldof, yeah. From the Boomtown Rats. My father had done the same interview.
Stop.
30 years later.
Oh,
with
that's
him,
lovely, isn't
when,
it?
When Paula Yates was alive. So yeah, yeah. No, we've always had that. And my mother was an English teacher. My father then eventually became an English teacher, and they were teachers for 30 years. So I suppose drama, music, film was always there. My first kind of recollection of cinema was my little legs dangling off the Savoy in the red velvet seats watching the spectacular that could have only been at that age to me, Lady and the Tramp.
Wow, yeah.
So, you know, and my dad bought me the vinyl that had the picture of Lady and the Tramp on it. And it's so, I'm so old now because the new animated version is coming out next year.
I know, it looks amazing, doesn't it?
So, you know, I think that was always there. And then my love of drama, I did a lot of drama. I did ballet for years and years in Ella Doran School of Ballet in Portmarnock, and went into Sylvia Bean School of Ballet around the corner here from where we are today. And I always loved it, you know. But I think just when I was applying for my Leaving Cert, you know, I think of them always, you know, what did I want to do?
Yeah.
I had no clue, really.
Really.
So I just kind of spread the net nice and wide, which I think is good. That would be another
so
piece
important.
Of advice
yeah.
I would give. And I think, you know, when you're starting out, sadly, you know, you have to take the jobs that are on offer, and that's
100%.
Just the way it is.
Yeah. So it's a very hard industry to get your foot in the door, isn't it?
So, you know, you take it as it is. You do your teas, your coffees. I worked with Shimmy Marcus on one of his, you know, beginning films, debut films, Head Rush. I worked for Jim Sheridan.
My God. What were those experiences like? Like, what were you literally doing on the sets? Like,
hanging around like a bad smell, I'd say. Just, you know, enjoying the whole setup, the ether of film and what that was.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of the cameras. And every time I saw a camera and a light, and
I love being on set. It's
anything industrial like that, I was like, ooh, this is
I always
is
compare
really
it to like being on a construction site for construction workers. But when you're like an actor or producer, it's that feeling of like everyone's involved. You're like tightening the nuts and bolts together. You're like having lunch together, having teas and coffees. It's like 20-hour days, but you just love it.
Yeah,
like, it's amazing to be in it.
It's a real sense of community and family. Yeah. And I think that's why when people work in the media, you know, we certainly don't do it for the money. We do it for the love
no,
of it, you know.
Definitely not.
And that has to be said, because, you know, whether you're an artist, whether you're a dramatist, a screenwriter, a writer, a journalist, a TV presenter, or whatever the hat is that you have on that's in media. I mean, filmmakers will tell you. I mean, trying to get budgets off the ground for young filmmakers, it's so hard. So, you know, everybody bows and scrapes. But the reason you do it is because it's so exciting, you know.
Yeah.
2 days are never different. You're telling me when you were that age, you were interviewing Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
I remember delivering scripts to Sarah Jessica Parker's trailer
for
Sex and the
City. I love this story because I remember seeing the interview on Exposé of you interviewing Sarah, and you said it to her. I remember the first time you met her.
Yeah.
That was like such a cool moment. So like, what was that like? Being
that
Sex
was pretty
City?
Incredible because that was a real opener. I mean, obviously I'd worked on film sets here in Ireland. And my cousin actually is a film director. He directs, he's directed everything from Outlander, which is obviously won the Emmys and their BAFTAs. And he has done the In-Betweeners films and obviously the series, and worked a lot in the UK. So he's a very established director, and started in the BBC and worked outwards. So I've always had that there.
Yeah.
And I think just when I went on a set that size,
I can only imagine.
I couldn't believe it. Like, you know, Patricia Fields obviously is the costume couturier almost for Sex and the City. And they had a double height, if I can remember it, almost double decker bus size, full of clothes.
Oh my
vintage.
God. Did you have
Chanel?
A
Chanel. Oh yeah, she was so nice. And this is the thing that I think people, you know, if you're young and you're starting out, don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, people always think, oh, I don't want to bother them, or
the worst thing they can say is no. I always say that to people too.
Exactly.
Just try your luck, you know.
Try your hand. Say, listen, would it be okay? Obviously be polite and mannerly. And if people agree and you get them on a good day, usually more often than not, I respond to as many people as I can.
Yeah.
I always say, do you want to come on and have a look at how box office is being made?
Oh, that's so nice.
You know, you know that from me. I would
always
take anyone under my wing. But there's tons of us out there that would too, because we've all tried.
You've been there yourself.
To get into the industry. But it was amazing. I got into her trailer and I did have a snoop around.
Of course you would.
Probably a felony. But I had a good look around. And she had loads of pictures and postcards of her with Matthew Broderick and poetry. She had loads of beautiful poetry.
Oh my God.
And kind of affirmations, which, you know, I kind of get now.
Yeah,
you know,
I love that stuff now.
Kind of telling herself to
keep going. Yeah.
You can do this. But one thing that really struck gold for me was the amount of shoes that were placed, and they were
oh
most
God.
Beautiful. She's tiny feet, obviously.
Yeah.
And they were on the floor, and they were just dink to the side, these beautiful kind of Cinderella shoes, which were probably Manolo's, isn't it?
Yeah.
Louboutins or Jimmy Choo, but they were beautiful. She had so many kind of draperies and, fabrics everywhere and feathers and feather bows. I mean, it felt like going into the back of the Moulin Rouge in her trailer.
And at that
beautiful
time when you're like working on sets, like what were you thinking of in your mind that you wanted to do? Had you kind of made a decision, or were you just kind of trying to do a bit of everything?
Kind of trying to do a bit of everything. I mean, I didn't realise that, I suppose, I had, I had a good broadcast voice. Yeah. I think at that time I was just muddling my way through college. I was doing a BA in drama and theatre studies in Trinity down the road here. And I loved it. I mean, it just tapped into every creative nerve I ever wanted to do. Yeah. Because obviously it's very broad. So you do writing, you do design, you do lighting, you do directing, you do producing, you do a bit of acting. I mean, the acting course is obviously extremely intense. It's wonderful in there.
I was going to say, did you ever want to go down that route, the performance route?
Oh, no, I did. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. And I kind of dappled alongside that. I got an agent, actually, when I came out of college. But through college, I think I was just like everybody. I was doing bits and pieces. But the whole experience in Sex and the City made me love the craft even more. And, you know, obviously I was liaising with producers. I had a headset like we have on today. So I had to bring Miranda and all the crew down onto set. I saw the scene where she fell into the water in the lake
hilarious.
And how that was staged. They could only ever do it once.
Oh my God.
And obviously it was the lake that's in Central Park, so they had to be very careful. They had they'd crash mats for her. They had people, making sure she was warm. The only thing that I got to do to kind of intercept the scene was that when she was finished, the poor thing was starving. So, I brought her some scrambled eggs on toast.
I love it because if it was Dublin, they'd throw you in the Liffey 5 or 6 times on a low budget film with no towel for you to like use.
Oh no, she was well minded.
Yeah, I remember when you asked her the question on the red carpet because I remember she went, "Oh my God, was I nice to you?" Yeah. She literally was like, "Was I okay?" And you were like, "No, no, you're."
She was sound. She was really nice, and I really got on with a lot of them, and then they invited me then on to do The Sopranos, which course I should have done, but then that would have meant I couldn't have finished my degree, so I chose
amazing experience
the path to do that, and then that brought on more and more and more interest. I worked then in Nationwide and RTE. I kind of, I'd done home produced, I tried to put together some movies myself, which I'm very, very proud of, there was a lot that I did.
And then, so tell me, how did Exposé actually come about? Like, how did it happen
that I got the
job?
Yeah, this is a great story too, because at the time I was over in New York. I actually visited some of the friends that we spoke about just there that I loved and known from my year on Sex and the City. So when I was over there, I got a phone call, and my mother had actually seen the advert, which they were looking for entertainment reporters on the back of TV Now magazine.
Oh my God, stop it.
I still have it actually. And it's that old font from 2007.
Okay, right.
Yeah, from 2007, I'd say. Oh, it could have been late 2006, maybe coming into the Christmas of that time.
Yeah, 2007 was the year it launched.
So it could have been 2006. So anyway, I was away in New York for Valentine's, which was February time. Yeah. And I got a phone call and they said, "We'd love you. We got your CV." Because my mum was like, "I think you should go for this." Because I'd already done Nationwide.
You're such a good fit already.
I had quite a bit of experience. So I decided, why not? And I was producing for Nationwide, so I was very aware of what junkets meant, what red carpets meant, and you know them now, maybe back then you wouldn't have really known what a junket means. And a junket is basically you sitting opposite a celebrity or an artist and speaking about their book or their play or their
movie.
Film.
Yeah.
So I had thankfully done a little bit, and they said, "Would you like to come in?" So I came in for the interview, and I had two people sitting in front of me, and they asked me, "What segments do you think you'd like to see on entertainment?" And I just had a few that I'd written down that I thought were good, but the one that stands out, I know I had good ones, but the one that stands out was that I wanted a segment on dogs fashion, because I had just got my little dog Lulu.
Oh my God, that's so
and
funny.
I know myself and my mum were mad about her, so I just always thought that would be a brilliant segment for Irish audiences.
People still love that stuff.
So you know, dress your pooch up. And of course I'd just come back from New York as well, so
they all dress their pooches up there.
So that was kind of fun, and I remember them laughing really loudly.
You're like, "Okay, I've got them. I've got them for a minute."
It's okay that I didn't make a boo-boo because I wasn't sure what the entertainment slant they wanted to go with. And I literally walked out the door and I got a phone call within 2 hours, and they were like, "You got the gig."
Oh my God. So did you have to do a screen test or anything?
No.
Wow, how times have changed. Oh my God, that's mad. Yeah.
Well, my showreel had been, I had quite a lot there, from not only producing, because originally, nobody knows this, but I originally went as a producer for Exposé.
Okay.
So although the entertainment reporter position had come up, I had also looked
for the production side.
Yeah, because I produce, you see, people don't know that. Yeah. I was a producer for a long time.
And did you know who else was going to be on the show at this point?
Oh goodness, no. I had
that's
no idea.
Mad.
I was the only external.
Okay. Yeah.
Person there.
And so, what was like the first day like when you like walked into the studio?
It was great. I remember, it was like kind of your first day at big school.
Yeah.
Because, my mum had made me breakfast that morning. I remember it very clearly. And I went down to Dundrum and we were all, given the option to choose clothes and you'd go for fittings and see. And I met all the girls. It was so exciting. Yeah. And there was this huge Jaguar there, a beautiful car, and I met all the team. Like, that was my first experience of meeting them.
So you're thrown right into it, like basically.
But as you should, that's what TV is. Like, whether you get a job on a movie or if you employ a new journalist, they got to come in and learn the ropes straight away. So.
And did you?
Never a soft landing into
media.
I don't think.
Did you have any idea at the time how big it was going to become? Because it literally became this flagship, sensational. Everyone was addicted. Like, it was so big. Like, did you know what to expect, or was a part of you like, God, this mightn't actually work, let's see what happens? Because with any new gig in media, you kind of don't know if it's going to last.
I think like anything, exactly that, you're building a new program. So I had worked on other programs before, some of them with great longevity and kind of had been woven into the tapestry of Irish communities like Nationwide, so I was very aware of big programmings, and then other programmings and other kind of movies that I've made, you just don't know where they're going to go. So I suppose you hope you expect it to do well, but you just have to keep your fingers and toes crossed and hope that it does. So I just never thought too long term. I just enjoyed it for being in the moment, which I think is also very prevalent.
So
and another bit of advice for anyone working in the job that you're in, if you love it, just enjoy it. Don't think about it too much.
12 years is a long time for it to have gone on for, especially in Irish TV. You just never know when something's going to last. But I remember when I was in school, like definitely in my late teens and early teens, I was obsessed with Exposé. Like, where homework had to be done.
Hopefully,
in time.
You were watching our fantastic dog segments.
Oh yeah,
dog fashion segments.
But everything, and it was just so glam. I loved all the presenters. There was nothing else, and I still feel there's nothing else that really brought you behind the scenes, like to the big events, got to meet people. It's just, I just felt like I was so sad when Exposé went a couple of weeks ago. I was really sad because I just felt there's nothing else like it on TV in Ireland. Yourself, when you go to LA, there's a lot of shows around the world that have multiple shows, but in Ireland, this was it. This was Exposé. Mm-hmm. So were you sad with the news?
But that is the way, I suppose, with television. Obviously my own show, Box Office, we hope we're coming back after the new year. But you just don't know. And I like you, there's been so many programs I've loved in British television. I used to love and live for The Tube. Was that too old for you on that one? I used to love it. Amanda de Cadenet, I used to watch it on weekends.
Sorry,
it was a music program.
Yeah.
And then I used to love like TFI Fridays or TGI. Is it TGI? No, TGI Fridays is the restaurant. TFI Fridays with Chris Evans. And I used to love The Big Breakfast. And they're all gone as well. So.
But it's weird. I don't know. Did you see that? Like, E! News has completely changed, and they've moved to New York, and they're going to be doing a breakfast show. It's not going to be an evening entertainment show anymore.
Oh, no.
That happened about a week or two before the Exposé news came out. So I was like, God, there's obviously just a change. I think with entertainment news, more so than interviews, let's say, because obviously like Box Office is so different in so many ways. But Exposé, I guess, when it's news, it's hard to have something that goes on later on when people want the news now. They want it straight away. And when I saw E! News aren't going to do an evening show anymore, I was like, oh my God, is the appetite just gone? Like, I don't know.
Well, you see, you're probably better off answering that question than me, because I mean, obviously you set up
that's what we do now.
So 5 years ago you set up something that, probably people were like, will it work? Will it not work?
And there was nothing like it. There was no site in Ireland that was dedicated to showbiz. So in a way, similar to Exposé, in a way, I suppose, when maybe it first came out, people were probably like, can you have a whole show just about entertainment? And it's the same with Goss. And I think we're successful because people want it now. They don't want to wait till 6 o'clock, and maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I don't know what it was, but no, I thought it was a sad day, but it's amazing that you have Box Office now and you still have that show. And I feel like in a way you're kind of continuing the expose journey, just on a different show. You're getting to do amazing interviews.
Thank you.
You're going to the press junkets, you're flying to the red carpet. Like, you are the person now bringing us to all those amazing events.
You asked me a couple of moments ago, you know, what was it that I kind of, was there any reasoning I wanted to pinpoint one thing or another? And I told you I cast the net wide, but I did end up doing a master's in film. So I had that and
it's
wanted to
in your mind
that. So and years ago there was a site called showbizireland.ie. I don't know if you ever remember.
I remember. Yeah, of course.
So I used to write all the film reviews for that.
Did you?
Yeah, and I used to write film reviews for other publications like the Gazette Group, which would have gone out all kind of distributed regionally.
And I
was always writing, you know, like I used to write an awful lot. I used to edit a wedding magazine. I mean, there was tons that I did on the side that would kind of keep me going throughout, you
other
know, maybe
bobs,
looking for work, you know, because being freelance is freelance, you know, whether
but
you're...
But that's what I love about, and I actually always loved that about your interviews when you were on Exposé and now you've brought it to Box Office as well. You can tell you have an understanding and interest in making movies. So when you're talking to an actor, you know exactly what they've been through. It's not like, oh, so how are you getting on today? You actually are like, okay, well, I saw the cinematography in this and the way this was like that. Like, you're able to have like this extensive conversation with them that maybe not all presenters can. So I love that Box Office is now specifically focused on all those things for you. Because now
I think it's kind of like the Willy Wonka golden ticket in a way. I mean, you know, I think my dad is just like, this is made for you, you know, because of not only movie knowledge, but I've interviewed so many actors over the years. I'm 20 years doing this now because, I mean, I started in my very early 20s and I'm where you on now. So I suppose it's a long time and you do learn your craft and you hone your craft, and I think I'm always watching movies. I mean, the reason I'm late for you today, and I'm so sorry, is that I was writing the script for the show, which again is, you know, we've got Angelina Jolie on the show on Friday night, you know, we have Sir Ian McKellen and Helen Mirren coming
down. Arnie on the show.
You know, next week. So it's one of those things where, you know, you got to write the script around it. I would never want to be very generic in anything that I do. I'm all or nothing. So I feel like if you're going to bring your knowledge to film to an actor or a director or a cinematographer, you need to know what you're talking about. So
and
I
talk me through.
Obviously,
you've interviewed so many amazing people. But talk me through maybe some of your own personal highlights that you're like, you're still pinching yourself now that you got to chat to those people.
Oh God, there's so many. Do you know what? It was funny because Al Pacino was in, you know, doing the big spread for The Irishman with Robert De Niro and Martin Scorsese. Now, sadly, I've never interviewed Martin Scorsese.
I know, he's on a hit list for so many people I know. People always say Martin Scorsese because I've interviewed Steven Spielberg and he's like one of my top people that I've interviewed. But so many people, I feel like, does he not do interviews, Scorsese?
I think he does, but I think they're just so few and far between. I think they're like hen's teeth. I think you'd need to be E!
We need to like track him down and like jump on him somewhere.
Or you'd have to be Gayle King or Oprah or somebody to get him. But I think, you know, for me, Robert De Niro and Al Pacino, you know, together on the red carpet that I interviewed them a couple of years ago. That was a real pinch me moment. And then Al Pacino came over and had won, I think, an award with the Philosophical Society or something in Trinity. So he was here. I mean, really, those are the pinch me moments. The big one, I know everybody says, really? And I was like, I mean, I love the Rolling Stones and they're icons of modern music or of music in general. And I've seen them 11 times. So when I got to interview the Rolling Stones, that was a huge one for me. But I was kicked off the carpet.
No.
So it was a real bittersweet moment.
Why?
I was kicked off, right? Because I am such a huge fan, okay? And obviously there's only four in the band. You've got Charlie Watts, the drummer, you've Ronnie Wood, and you have Keith Richards, and of course lead man, of course Mick Jagger. So you can't get the Rolling Stones without getting all four. So on a red carpet, you know how tight wedged you're in. Like you're bunched. You have got
you're
to grow.
You're literally fighting to get through. Your elbows are everywhere.
You gotta move those
elbows.
No
one knows how
out.
Hard it is. On TV, it's like, oh, there's Lisa Cannon. It's like, it took me 2 hours to push my way through. You're screaming at agents to get someone over. And then you're like, hi, how are you?
You're such a liar because you got to pretend that you haven't, you're not either dying to go to the bathroom, that, you know, you've your bag below your
that
feet.
That you're not
you're
a massive fan. So what happened then?
I've worn more Uggs on a red carpet than care to, with a ball gown on top. So basically just Mick Jagger was coming towards me and I asked him his questions and he was really engaged because obviously I'm such a big fan that myself and my father had constructed the questions together.
Oh, wow.
And I had so many, and they were so good. I mean, some of them were about his concerts in 1969 and, you know, Brian Jones, death of the band, you know, with the whole kind of rebirth of the Rolling Stones, their big, big theatre live shows. And whatever happened, he loved my questions.
Yeah.
So he started chatting back to me and he was laughing, and he put his arm on the, you know, on the railing and I put my hand on top of his hand. We were having this full blown like love chat fest about how amazing the Rolling Stones are. And who is walking by? Only Keith Richards and Ronnie Wood and Charlie Watts. And they were moving on to the other pens, which was
Sugar,
online media, radio.
Okay.
So I was devastated because as much as I wanted Mick Jagger, I need to get the
others.
So Mick could see, I was kind of looking at him and I need to get, I was doing the kind of side eye. So he said, I'll leave you now. And he moved on to Sky News. So then they were gone and the publicist said, sorry, you've missed your chance. So I jumped the barricades. Jumped the barricades again and jumped the barricades again. So I got all four of them.
Oh,
and I got the tap
God.
On the shoulder and they're like, you, Lisa Cannon, off. Get
well,
off
look, I thought you were going to say you got kicked off before you got to interview them.
No, I got them
It's
all.
Worth jumping and getting kicked off if you get the interview.
I don't have the nickname The Claw for nothing. So
there's nothing worse. And this is the thing, I feel like the public don't realise how difficult it is to get interviews. There's nothing worse when you're waiting like 3 hours in the cold outside and you miss the one person you even promised to get. It's so annoying. And this year actually at the Oscar Wilde party, you know, like obviously JJ always does the car, but I always interview him. And we were at the very, very end and it was so cold this year that the publicists with JJ were like, JJ needs to go inside. And I had like my jacket off for the camera, so I was in like this like sleeveless strapless dress, and he was being brought off, and he actually came back and went, there is no way I am not answering this girl's question.
That's
she's
nice.
Been waiting outside,
is
she
nice.
Is frozen. And he came back out and he was like, I can literally tell you're freezing. And I was chatting about it later on inside, and Chris O'Dowd was like, that was a good move, you know, because it got JJ to come back. That's so like nice. Most people are nice, but like
well,
I
he had
understand.
A heart. Some of them don't.
Yeah, some of them don't. Yet. Do you have any bad experiences now that you
I have
can
a good
actually
few.
Say?
I have a good few, which of course I can lash out, no problem. I suppose one that was so disappointing, red carpet disappointing moment, was definitely Julia Roberts, because, you know, we'd all waited for her. I can't think of the movie now. It was a long time ago, but
was
I remember
it the one with George Clooney?
It could have been. It could have been.
I had a bad experience here around that time.
I just felt like she rocked up the red carpet. You know, she could see there was, and when there's hundreds of crew members, my God, if I ever got to the height of fame that they ever were at, which
you
would
wanna,
never happen.
You want to give them the time.
I would give people the time, because don't forget, you know, you've left your maybe your boyfriend or your dog at home, you're exhausted, you've got on a flight, you've probably eaten crap food
barely
on the airplane,
slept.
You're nervous about making the flight, you get all the way over, your heart's pounding, you get to Leicester Square, you know, you got to put your makeup on, you got to fix your hair, you got to ask your questions, meet your cameraman, get yourself all set up, it could be freezing cold, and you're there and it's taking you 5 hours door to door to get there just to get one question,
just one question, like
and then if they walk by you, you're like, wow, okay, because there's nothing else you can do. The moment is gone, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, you don't want to be explaining to yourself or back to a producer or back to
what
somebody.
Happened?
Oh, I'm sorry, I just didn't get it. And even though it wouldn't have been out of your control, there's nothing you can do. You still feel like
guilty.
It's a dud. Yeah, it's like, well, that.
And did you try to get her, and she just didn't come over? Basically,
you can try everything. I mean, I've literally done everything. I mean, I've proposed to Colin Firth. I have, there's so many tricks of the trade. We use sparkly eyeshadow to kind of get their attention. I've waved my arms like, you know, like a lunatic.
Yeah, I think I saw one interview where you were like one of the only people that got Jennifer Aniston on the red carpet. Is that right? I feel like there was something, and she was like, I remember you. I remember her saying it. You see, I literally watch Exposé all the time. I remember her looking into the camera. She was like looking for you and she was like, oh, yeah. I definitely remember you, and then you got to ask your question.
Well, that's a good trick as well. If you're doing a junket and then you do the red carpet, and
you're like later
not
on.
Not that anyone normally does this for a living, but I suppose it's directed at you. Really, is that you always say, "I'm meeting you at the
see
red
you
carpet
later."
So
the Julia Roberts one that was funny was actually I was at the Cannes Film Festival, and I can't remember the name of the movie. I think it was The Newsroom. It's something about it being in The Newsroom, and George Clooney was in it, and Julia Roberts. And George was so good in that whole press tour because his dad is a journalist, so he has respect for journalists and for writers. And he came out and he was chatting away, and I was like, I'm from Ireland, and he didn't have that much time, but he said hello and was chatting. And Julia like literally like kept her sunglasses on, wouldn't make eye contact with anybody, and was just like, goodbye, see you later. Like, especially at Cannes, everyone is there to preview the movie. So like, it's really important that you're kind of nice to the journalists, because no one will see the movie for a couple of more weeks until it's out. So yeah, Russell Crowe as well. I didn't like him.
He gave me a baseball cap from the rabbit hole.
You're like, we're best friends.
Yeah, we're not. I liked him, but
got chatting to him for a long time, but he was rude to other people around me, and I noticed that, and that's what I didn't like.
Well, one that was really sticks out, and I'm sure you won't be surprised, is Kevin Spacey. He was extremely scary.
Oh my God, was
and extremely
he?
Rude. Yeah, I mean, he basically looked down his snout at me, and you know, he was on his phone the whole time when I came in, and I think the rudest moment ever.
That was a junket. We were sitting in a room with him.
It was for House of Cards.
Okay, yeah.
And I remember walking in the door, and I extended my hand as I would. I'm like, "Hi, I'm Lisa Cannon. Really nice to meet you, Kevin." Yeah. And he didn't respond with his hand back, so he kept his phone on his kept his hands on his mobile phone, and just looked up at me and went, "Mm-hmm." And then put his hand back down.
And then when the cameras went on, was he totally charismatic and different?
Hi, how are you? Great to be on the show. I just thought, what an arse.
Like, it takes 2 seconds to pretend to be nice to someone. Just do it, like.
But the thing is, I don't know if you know, there's a few moments before you start.
Yeah, it's kind of awkward, isn't it? You're waiting for a few minutes for the lighting to come on.
Yeah, like people are checking things and they need to make sure, and there's a lot of publicists. People maybe don't know that, but their publicist is there, and there's other people in the room, and you know, they're going to kick you out if you ask them anything that's unsavory and they don't want to answer it.
Yeah.
But what I found quite strange was that he just sat there looking at his phone while they were setting everything up, and I'd already extended my hand. He had refused it. It was bloody awkward, and I just thought, what a rude guy.
That's like, so
you know, there's no need for that, right?
Yeah, because I've heard of such surprising people that haven't been nice in those situations with and I know they're in the room for the day, they're wrecked, but they got that $1 million check because a part of the deal is that you do the promo. Like, you have to do it. Like, I remember Kristen Stewart used to always give out about journalists and interviews and stuff, and then I was in my mind, I'm always like, well, do another job then. Like, you have to be willing to sit down in a room with people who are promoting your movie. You're going to get like box office, people are going to watch that and go, oh, I need to see that movie. You know, like, you have to be nice. It's like, so yeah, that's disappointing. Well, it doesn't surprise me though. Well,
there's someone I know, but it wasn't me, but somebody told me that one actress took the person's hand, shook their hand, and then asked for baby wipe right in front of them.
That's probably Beyonce. I've heard a few stories of that as well.
No, she was lovely.
But was
to
she
me.
Nice? Was
she was one of my big ones. I thought she was lovely. I brought my dad along actually to that interview randomly.
Oh my God.
We were over in New York. We'd done a kind of dad daughter holiday, and I got a frantic phone call from our producer. Oh my God, you're in New York. She's launching her new perfume. Can you go? So I brought dad along.
Oh my God.
Dad was like, this is great fun.
Who gets to do this on a Wednesday? By Beyonce, that perfume.
Yeah, something like that. So dad came along, and he was chatting up her PA, telling her, you know, all about Ireland. We were from Ireland, and I was talking to Beyonce. And those few precious moments where before you start rolling, I said, oh, that's my dad over there.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, he's lovely. And I said, well, he'd drive you mad. And then my dad was chatting up her PA as I was like, go, dad. And then at the end, my dad leaned over me. The embarrassment.
Oh,
and he
God.
Said, can I get a couple of pictures, Beyonce?
Oh my God, did he actually?
Yeah.
So
and
cute.
She said straight away, no problem.
Oh
so
my God, wow.
She stood there. We've them all, and we can't release them, unfortunately. We weren't allowed
utilize
them. They're just strictly for
but at least
us.
You have them for yourself.
She stood and she posed and did all these poses for my dad. And you know, my dad is he's
sweet.
An amateur / professional photographer, and he was nervous, you know, and she allowed him that time and the grace.
Wow.
So you'll have to take back now what you said.
Yeah, maybe it's not Beyonce.
She was super nice to my dad.
Do you know I always found was really good. Well, Colin Farrell is always really good.
He's wonderful.
He will stay out in the cold. He is like really respectful of journalists having their time and everything. But were you there at the premiere for the Tom Cruise movie as well?
Where people were following around with a heater?
Yes. Yeah. So what was that called?
It
was a shite movie anyway. But
it was
it was the one where he's in another world. But what I loved about that one was that the premiere was an hour and a half late, which people didn't love sitting downside, but it's because he was like, well, everyone waited. Like, he made sure he got a photo with everyone who was lining outside and he spoke to every journalist. Like, he really was like, no, these people have come out. And even his publicists were like getting frustrated with him, but I was like, no, that's how you do it, because if you think someone's putting their time out just for you, you're going to feel special, you're going to write something nice, you're gonna rave about the movie. I was like, yeah.
So would he be one of your favorites, Tom Cruise?
Definitely, just because he's
me
it's
too.
Obviously a thing he does, but he was like, what's your name? And I was like, Alexandra. And he was like, oh yeah, Alexandra. And he kept saying his name back to me, my name back to me. And I was like, oh my God, Tom Cruise knows who I am. But then we went into the movie. Obviously he doesn't, like, he did follow me on Twitter afterwards, but it was obviously like his like team.
That's kind of nice.
It was random.
Do you know, I've weird people, not weird people. I've Al Pacino's daughter following me.
Stop.
And Martin Scorsese's daughter following me.
Oh my God, you're like,
Instagram.
Get Martin on the phone.
No, we've been a few messages, direct messages back and forth with Olivia only the other day.
But and then when we went into the cinema to sit down, he like walked past my aisle and he went, oh, hi, Alexander. I was like, oh my God, stop saying my name. But
I think that's fantastic.
But I think it's so, I always use him as a example, because when I interview, let's say maybe like a C, D, E, F lister and they annoy me and they're rude, I'm like, well, if Tom Cruise can like remember my name and take a moment and be nice to me, you can be nice to me too.
Well, he is renowned for being super nice.
Yeah, he's clever.
I think he's just got that joie de vivre. He just does it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's got it in
spades. He's so charismatic.
And I think, you know, you never forget where you come from. I mean, he's an extremely successful actor. He's an icon of our generation. But I think more importantly, he's nice.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's like behind doors. Who would ever
me
know?
Neither, yeah.
But what he does portray to the media and the people that
nice
are interviewing him, he's respectful. And that's important.
Like you said, everyone's doing a job. And I think this podcast is such an interesting episode, because I think people don't realise about, you know, the plane journeys, the train journeys, the sitting outside, the lining up to get your press pass, the waiting for the lights. Like, there's so much that goes on, and all you're trying to do is get that one little question. That's it. So we're nearly finished now.
No.
I know, time flew by.
That's how late I was. We missed all the goody
Don't
time.
Don't worry at all. Obviously, so tell us what's going on box office at the minute.
Well, we are absolutely steam charging ahead with all these interviews. So not only have we had Woody Harrelson on the show, which absolutely
I love Woody.
You know, he plays bingo in Waterford. He's really good friends with Keith Barry. Yeah.
Yeah, they're very good friends. Yeah, I didn't.
He
trained him for Now You See Me. He was the one who trained him.
That's right.
Oh my God. Let's all go to Waterford for bingo, lads.
He's hilarious. He's a bit nuts. And he kind of exclusively told me, which, well, has already gone out now on the show, that if Trump was re-elected, he would come and live in Ireland, that he loves Ireland so much. He wasn't anything to do with, you know, Trump himself. So, you know, he's very kind of kind about Ireland, why he loves it. You know, he hangs out with Bono. He's best friends with Paul McCartney. And Jesse Eisenberg was on the show. So we were kind of laughing, you know, are you ever going to interview, you know, are you ever going to introduce, sorry, Jesse Eisenberg to Paul McCartney? And he was like, well, you have to be kind of invited. So he was kind of taking the piss out of him, which is a bit of fun.
Okay.
And then Angelina Jolie, of course, on Friday, just gone. And then we have Arnold Schwarzenegger. So
amazing.
They're coming thick and fast, and it's great, you know. But the great thing about box office, and since you're a movie lover, I'm going to run this by you. We've got a new segment called Real Talk. Now, we're only into our fourth episode, but we've decided to invite great, brilliant directors, great minds of Irish cinema on and ask them about their careers. So it's kind of like what you're doing, not with me,
more
in depth. So we had Terry McMahon on, who's done some fantastic work.
Yeah.
He's very controversial, you know, and he will make no bones about how badly needed funding is for film and for arts.
Yeah, he's very vocal on Twitter as well, isn't he?
Exactly.
Yeah, great,
and we've had Jim Sheridan on. You know, we want to get Barry Keoghan back on. You know, we have Nick Dunning, who's a brilliant actor. He's in The Iron Lady. He's also going to be starring in The Abbey really soon. So it's about kind of building our network of all these wonderful Irish actors that
and cultivating Irish talent and just
and
giving them a space.
To the fore. So, you know, ultimately, I would love to bring it to an hour long. I think film is so important. We're the biggest cinema going public in Europe.
It's mad,
and I think, you know, Irish film is getting bigger and bolder and better. We have like Dark Lies the Island that's just come out with Mo Dunford and Peter Coonan.
Yeah.
We have such great Irish talent that is being nurtured constantly.
The more I go over for Oscars week to LA, the more Irish people are actually there. Like, the more Irish people that are getting into movies over there, or they're nominated, or there's another Irish movie. Like, there's such a strong presence in Hollywood. I feel like we should be bigging them up even more back in Ireland.
I think we don't. I think we need to tell them more and more how important it is that they have a voice, you know. I look around me and I mean, obviously we are bombarded by so many different cinemas that want to be promoted on box office, but I kind of stick to my guns. We do a very kind of strong dichotomy of Irish and international. So of course you're going to see your movie stars, I'll go do them. But then I also want to bring into the fore really kind of the variance, the diversity and the dynamic pool of people and creative talent that we have in Ireland. And I mean that right down to people that are working in journalism, people that are starting podcasts, people that are scratching tooth and nail to make it in the media. You know, you just have to go for it. You really do. And whether that's...
Is that your best advice for anyone that's like maybe trying to... We'll end on that note. Like, what's your best advice for anyone trying to get into the industry?
I think ultimately you just have to keep banging down on doors. It's the cliche. I know everybody says it, but never, ever take no for an answer. You know, go back again, go back again. I mean, the amount of times I knocked on the door of TV3, the amount of times I knocked on the door of RTE, and I got in. I'm working now as reporter too. I did the year-long stint with the Today Show, and now they have me as part of a pool to do reporting for them across the Today Show. So that's nice. Brilliant. I'm working for both networks. I've also worked for Extra, apologies.
Yeah, Extra.
Over the summer, I was doing Game of Thrones, so I was working there, got to throw to Mario Lopez, which was quite exciting. And also working across British television too. So you just have to keep knocking on the door, and it never stops. Like, you don't get to stop knocking, you know? And I think no matter what age you are, if you decide this is a career path you love and you'd really like to give it a go, give it a go. You are never
give
too late
all.
To start.
Yeah.
Never.
What a lovely note to end on. Well, thank you so much, Lisa, for coming
in. I'm a big fan, you know.
We're a big fan of yours. And
thank you.
If you haven't tuned into Box Office, go tune in now. And it's on the Virgin Media Player too, if you've missed any
episodes.
It is.
And it's Friday nights, 8:30 p.m. on Virgin Media too.
So excited to see the next few entries you have.
Thank you, Ali. Thanks. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.